All right. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to pray right out of the Bible and for everybody. How's that? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father, for this great time that you've given us together. And, Lord, we thank you for all the testimonies and the praise reports and all the prayers that's going to be answered, have been answered, and will be answered in Jesus' name. And, Father, I'm going to pray this for every one of us. And it's right out of your book in Ephesians 3, and it starts out in 14. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father, from whomever family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, that we may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in our heart through faith to the end, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now we are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power, and that's the great power of God that works in us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever and after all the evers. Amen. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, because we're going to talk about faith, the trials of our faith. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. The chair squeak is back. Barry says, okay, well, I command that squeaking to stop. At least they can't hear it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, who's got a prayer request? Because tonight is the night you're going to get it answered. Go ahead, Angelica.
Hey, Michael, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was just had a blessed day today, but my cousin called me, and apparently I had been ignoring his phone calls because I just, you know, sometimes I get random phone numbers from Texas or whatever. So anyway, the Lord had perfect timing, and I answered tonight. And he's the one I've asked prayer for, you know, for about addictions and just a lot of stuff. But I've said in the past that I know that the Lord is going to use them in a mighty way when he brings them around and stuff. So anyway, he's just, you know, going through it, and he's just kind of hit that place, I think, where he's ready to, okay, Lord, what do you got for me? You know what I mean? And be delivered. I invited him here, you know, just to kind of hang out and join our fellowship and see what the Lord does. But I just want to pray that it would only be God, and his perfect will for him to come here. I certainly don't want, for him to come here and the Lord's not, it's not his perfect timing. He's not completely ready. And I want to pray, obviously he's got a lot of just things to be delivered of, that when he does come, that, you know, I will be at peace. And you know, everyone's belongings will be safe and that kind of thing. and hopefully he'll never stumble across this, audio.
Okay.
But Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much for my cousin Daniel, Father God. And I know you love him. You have kept him back from death countless times, Father God. And I just praise you and I thank you, Father God. And I heard today just brokenness in him, Father God, that he's just tired of living life, Father. And he asked you for a sign and he felt like he got it, Lord. And so I just thank you, Father. I just pray that if and when Daniel's to come here, Father God, that you make the way, Father God. It'd be in your perfect timing, both for him and for us. And that when he come, he'd be ready to receive, Father God, of your word, to be delivered of these demonic spirits, Father God. That would be a blessed time, Father God, that you would orchestrate the visitations with other brothers that have come from similar backgrounds, Father God, to encourage him, Father God, and that he would just be strengthened by your Spirit pray that you draw him, Father God, and I bless you, and I thank you, Father God, for doing that. I thank you, Father God, for perfect peace, Father God. Should you do this quickly, Father God, that our belongings will be in peace, and that it'd be okay for him to stay here with us, Father God, and sleep on the couch or whatever, Lord. And so I just thank you for the means for that, Father God. And if he's coming by bus, Father God, that you know, he don't have to worry about his way, Father God, that you're going to make a way, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father God, for granting him repentance, Father God, and cleansing him, Father God, from all the wounds and the pains and the hurts and the generational stuff, Father God. And I just thank you, and I glorify you, Father God, because I think it's going to be a mighty, mighty work, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we just pray that Daniel, when he comes here, that he will be ready to receive whatever you have, Lord. And I know you're going to deliver him, fill him, and set him on the road, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for bringing him here when it's time, and open the doors when it is time. If it's time now, open them up. If not, shut them up. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Daniel, we declare and decree right now that you're coming into the kingdom in Jesus' name. We break the power of Satan over your head, over your body, over your mind, over everything in yourself right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you've granted repentance to him, and he's coming in a mighty, mighty strong way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, David.
I'd like a prayer request. This week has been a little rough, and a lot of discouragement, and not from the news, but I mean, we have quite a bit of expenses coming up with the birth and stuff. And we would have enough money if we had our tax return, which we still didn't get from last year, from 2018. And we didn't even get our last stimulus check either. And then my brother owes me quite a big sum of money from the last job before his company went down. And I mean, the only way I see us coming through this situation is if God shows a big miracle and gets us at least the tax return so we could cover the expense of the birth.
Okay, I'll tell you what you do. You listen to what goes on tonight, because we're going to talk about exactly those types of things, okay? Y'all listen, but I'm going to pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for putting and placing bold faith in David and Alina in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask and I pray that everything that's said tonight, according to your word, Lord, will be heard and be taken into their spirit in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you, Father, for what you're going to do and show David and Alina your power and your glory and your love for them. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're fixing to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
I'd like to pray for you too,
yep.
David and Lena. Father, thank you that you know our every need before we even have them, and you see their hearts, and you see the big, surmountable, what seems impossible situation they are financially in right now. And Lord, you promised to restore everything the enemy has stolen. You promised to restore everything, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you would have mercy, and we come against these spirits of doubt and unbelief and uncertainty and worry, anxiety, and fear. And all of your buddies, in Jesus' name, we bind you in the authority of the Lord Jesus. And Father, I ask that you will just give them the ability to trust you, to believe you and take you at your word. Your word, you hold your word higher than even your name. And Lord, your name is powerful. Your word is, you are trustworthy. And you cannot ever, ever go against your word. If we ask you anything, you promise you'll do it. And we know if we ask you anything according to your will, we've received it. And we're your children. David and Alina are your children. You've already shown them things, Lord. You've already proven yourself to them. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give them that remembrance of things that you've already done for them. And you will not fail them. Not this time, not ever. All you ask of us is to believe you and put our faith in your word and your promises. And all my brothers and sisters are in agreement with your word and these and this prayer. I know they are. And I love you. And I praise you. And just around, put your arms around David and Lena and let them know that you were there and you're with them. You brought them this far and by your grace, and your grace is going to bring them through everything. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Encourage them in this wilderness they're in with you right now. Every step. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Go ahead, Angelica.
Yeah, I just wanted to share some word to encourage the brother and sister and pray as well. Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." And then I also want to share a couple more, well, probably a few more, but Hebrews 6, 10 through 20. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you've shown towards his name, and that you ministered unto the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even to the end." And Matthew 6, 26 through 34. "Behold the birds of the heavens, of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, for your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? And which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And I had one more scripture, which is, of course, you know, "Cast your cares, you know, your burdens, your cares upon him, for he careth for you." And hold on 1 second. If you do a little, word search on just the word care, or just a quick define the word care, it means the provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. And of course it's, it just means in every circumstance, you know, the Lord is going to provide for you for what you need. So I just wanted to share those words and pray. So Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Father God, that never have you seen a child of God begging bread, Father God. This is these are your children, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, that they have been given every spiritual blessing, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, for blessing them to enter into the rest about all of this, Father God. We come against all fear, anxiety, and worry, Father God. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. We don't receive it. We command it to go in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you for blessing them to be focused on you, on your goodness, Father God, on the fact that this baby is healthy, and the mom is healthy, and dad's healthy, and everyone's healthy, Father God. And that this birth is going to be a beautiful birth, Father God. And I just pray that you put the confessions, Father God, in their mouth, Father God, for what they need from you, Father God. And I do pray that the peace that surpasses all understanding, Father God, surround them at this time, Father God. And Lord, money for you is nothing, Lord God. You own everything. And so I just thank you, Father God, that no matter what the means, Father God, whether it be the things that they mentioned, Father God, or some other way, Father God, which they have not thought of, Lord God, this money is coming and that they're going to thank you for it from this point on, Father God. They're going to thank you. They're going to praise you, Father God, and they're going to forget about it and just know that it's done, Father God, because you're not a man that you should lie. And I just thank you, Father God, for your loving kindness towards this family, Father God, and help us all to remember, Father God, that you are our provider, that we were bought with the price, that we're not ourselves, and we're not to worry about those things, Father God, because those are your responsibilities as our Father. And so we just thank you so much, Father God. We cast our cares upon you, Father God, and we share in this burden, Father God, all of us, for our brother and sister, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, that that this house is blessed. And we just break the power of any curses, Father God, on their finances, Father God, anything spoken out of their mouth, anyone else's mouth. We break the power of Satan off of their finances, and we command it to be broken in the name of Jesus. And we command everything that is due to them to come unto them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I just thank you, Father God, for multiplying unto them, Father God. He said, give and it shall be given, Father God. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, that you multiply, Father God, all that they've done, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe with it. Go ahead, Greg.
So I just wanted to add prayer for the brother. Lord, I don't know what the circumstances in his company failing, but Lord, I just pray that the blessing that we're calling down on David and Alina would overflow to him also. To your glory, Lord, nothing less than to your glory. That'll do. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I was just reading in Fear Not the Wilderness. And Angelica said one of the scriptures in what I just read. And I want to read a portion of this. The Bible doesn't teach borrowing to get money. It teaches giving to get money. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. I've proven this many, many times. When you give God, give, God will give it back to you multiplied, just as the scripture teaches. But notice it doesn't teach going under the law. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. People want to reap, but they don't want to sow. The Bible teaches that first you have to sow. You give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. Let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye having always all sufficiency in everything may abound unto every good work. Just for giving bountifully, God will make sure that you will always have all sufficiency in everything and will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. And he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. People who don't really believe this are stingy and they hoard, but that's not the way for God to multiply. You have to sow. Let me read something else here a little bit further. From my own experience, there have been many times when I saw that what I had would not meet my need. Many times when the money that I had would not cover my bills, and I would just take the money that I did have and would go give it. And in giving, it would come back multiplied. People worry, well, if I give it, maybe it won't come back in time. Folks, God doesn't dwell in time. He answers before we call, Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And David mentions about that he gave his house and his car away, and then the Lord gave him a house and a car. So that's just one perspective on being able to, you know, outgive God, you know, and that's just one perspective on how the Lord supplies your need.
Amen.
We give. So anyway, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, Sue.
Good now.
Yeah, I was thinking about David's name and his wife's name. And David means beloved, and Elena means bright shining light. And I was also thinking about the child that they're the child that they have and the one that's on the way. I don't know what they're gonna name, but I pray, Father, that you will give them the name that you want them to have for this child. Father, your name that you give us is to be a blessing to us. And thank you, Father, that he's your beloved, and Elena is your bright shining light. And the children, I would like to read Psalm 127. Children, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. I just think about these children and how much they are a blessing, and how many the Lord's going to honor.
So you're going to have to speak in the microphone. Your volume is way down.
Oh, sorry. what do you want me to repeat? I believe. Did you hear me singing? Did you hear me sing? Did you hear me?
Yeah, he blasted us, but that's okay. We can
oh,
hear
no,
you.
That was yeah. Judy. I didn't blast you.
That's all right. You don't have to scream anyway. Now. You can just okay. Talk normal.
Yeah, I just wanted David and Elena to know that the children are a blessing from the Lord. And when he gives that, he's happy. He will be happy with what they are doing and what they want to do. And I believe that he's going to provide for them, because he gave them that child. He gave them one little girl, and he's giving them another one. Another girl or boy, I don't know which, but anyway. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you're blessing them with that heritage of a child, another child, Lord, and help them to see that it is a blessing from you, and the names that you've given are a blessing from you, and that you will give them the name that you want this child to have as well, that is because this one is from you. That's how much he loves them. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Greg.
I have another thing to bring up, but once we finish with this, I don't want to cut it off.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Look, it's a prayer request that Tracy just sent me, then asked me to bring up. I'm putting it in the chat. It's a message from a mutual contact, a guy named Jason. But I'll just read out for those who are on a phone. An 11-year-old girl, Kaylee, has brain cancer and only days to live according to the natural. And she sent it came with an X-ray type image of the side.
These Christians?
No idea.
Okay.
And I'm just of the mind to smack the darn thing down.
Okay.
So I guess I'd better pray, having said that, haven't I?
Yeah.
Lord, I just want to thank you that this thing has been brought up to us. And Lord, we just want to bow to you, give you honor, and recognize the authority that you have imbued in us or permitted us to use. So Lord, if I may step across in your name, or we as a group of the Ecclesia, on behalf of this 11-year-old girl and her parents and those who would be concerned, who may not have the understanding and faith that we have of you, we address this cancer and say, no, we speak life over Kaylee, life over her mind, life over her brain, her organs, life over the rest of her body, her bloodstream, her lymphatic system, and everything else that that may be affected, or that air quotes experts are saying are affected, because their position and their word is nothing compared to the word of God. So Lord, if nothing else, we take from our portion of the healing you have for us, which is unlimited, and we put that upon Kaylee. Lord, please show off. Let these people know who you are and what you do, and take glory, Lord, that not just Kaylee would live. And Lord, let me just, what is it, Psalm 118? Was it Psalm 170? But, you know, she shall not die, but she shall live and declare the glorious, illustrious acts of the Lord. That this would be her portion. Amen. That'll do.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for Kaylee. Lord, we know that the world, the pharmakia, has pronounced death on this 11-year-old girl. We pronounce life into her in the name of Jesus right now. We break the power of the spirit of cancer off of her and command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that she is healed. And we just command the spirit of the fear of cancer to go out of her and the family in the name of Jesus. And we command that spirit of death off of her right now in Jesus' name. And we bind up all the works of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Kaylee is healed, delivered, and set free by the power and the blood of Jesus. We declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. Right now, Kaylee, be healed in Jesus' name. And Father, everybody here and everybody listening believes it and praising you for it, Lord, that you're going to get the glory and not pharmakia. And we praise you, Father, that Kaylee's going to have a fine, glorious life in you, because she's going to know it came from you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Ah, thank you, Father, for Kaylee's complete deliverance quickly in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it, don't you? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo, my. We're gonna see some testimony from that family, Greg. Look for it, because it's coming. Thank you, Jesus. My. Okay, that's a... Look for it, Tracy. It's coming. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request? How about a praise report? Has anybody out there got a praise? Has anybody got a testimony or a praise report? That's what I want to know. Yeah, Vanita.
Well, we prayed over my daughter's speedometer and it started working again. So praise the Lord for that.
Thank you, Jesus. God can do it. He will do it and does do it. Is there anybody else out there got a praise report or a testimony? Pat's got his hand up. Okay, it's going to be a good one.
Well, this is a bit of unusual, but I don't know if it's unusual or not. A few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, the Lord gave me a song, and I think I even sang it on one of the meetings here one night. And the gist of that song was, thank you, Lord, for bringing me into that perfect place in Christ. And the perfect was that complete, that completion, a place of completion or completion of the life of Christ. So, and every morning since that day, I've been singing that song in the shower or wherever. And then when I start in the morning, come down and read my Bible and go through, I thank the Lord. I actually write that statement down every morning because I believe that not only has he brought me into that perfect place of Christ, but there's a manifestation that will take place and provide visual, shall we say, confirmation of that has happened and is happening. The interesting thing, though, today, I have to say, I've been battling over certain things here in the family for years. And I believe that the Lord is going to break that, not only in the environment, but he's going to break that within me and take that away within me, which allows those conditions and situations to happen. I'm just going to leave it at that. But here was something funny that I had that kind of shows me the humor of the Lord. Maybe this is not humorous, I don't know, but I just thought it so hit because I was again praising him for bringing me into this perfect place, and in the midst of my struggles the other day, a day or two ago, I asked the Lord, would you lead me today in what you want me to see? And I opened the scripture and put my finger down on Isaiah 49:20. And I have to read this to you. Because this is where my finger landed. And I, quite frankly, I don't know that I read the rest of the context of this verse and where it came from, but this is where my finger landed. The place is too cramped for me. Isaiah 49:20, the children of whom you were bereaved will yet say in your ears, place is too cramped for me. Make room for me that I may live here. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the guidance, the leading. I wouldn't consider it a positive verse. God saying, well, I'm ready to do whatever I'm doing, whatever needs to happen here. but the place in there is a little bit too cramped for me. I can't get in. So I don't, so I take that as a correction, a rebuke, a reproof, but I also have to say you couldn't have hit it straighter on the head than that verse. My finger landed right on that. But so I don't know if this is a testimony. It's a testimony of God's leading, but it's also a prayer request, because in all seriousness, I believe that God is bringing me into a place of recognizing my own weakness and my own inability to bring this place that he has for me within him, to bring it into the reality of that. And I think that there's a place where Pat has to die and give up or enter into that crucifixion, that dying, whatever that is, I'm not sure. But David has been, the last message, I think, on Sunday was something really to do with God's power really only being revealed in its uttermost in our absolute weakness, and how to cooperate with that weakness and still and cooperate with his spirit in that weakness, I believe is what I need to learn. And I believe he's taking me there. And it just so hits with what we were talking here about in David's life as well, and what they're struggling with is, and I posted that verse that Angelica spoke on there, wrote the whole verse, but it hit me in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And those very short words and commandment of Jesus have a significant relevance to me again in my situation now. And that is seeking first his authority, his rulership in my heart, and his righteousness, his right perspective in my situation. That's the first thing that I have to seek personally, and that's the foundation of everything that comes afterwards, of our provision in him. And I think of that verse, by grace, his unmerited benevolent influence upon our heart, we are saved. We were saved, and that only happens through faith. And so I just feel like it, the whole situation, even this meeting tonight, is just very significant to me, in that we are only saved by God's grace through any process that we're in, and I just have to learn to pull back. I know it's with maybe some people it may be easier. I know that I have learned how to do in my life. I've learned to do a lot of things and self-sufficient and repair my own stuff and do this and build my own things and whatever. But I'm going through a time, and I believe we're all going to be going through a time when there are many things that we could do in situations, but for me or you to intervene in certain things, to intervene, it removes the ability of God to really address the situation himself and provide an opportunity for others to know him, to want to know him through the expression of our faith and God's faithfulness in providing what we need through the situation. And I'm pointing right back to this leaking faucet under my sink. I could jump on that in a minute and repair that because I know how to do those things. But that doesn't honor God. It doesn't bring forth any kind of expression of God's greatness, of God's ability to do that which we can't do. And one of these days, I'm not going to have those abilities. I'm not going to have that capability to just jump in there and fix something. And I know I need to be able to trust on God's supply, even in these things. So I don't know if this is a testimony, a prayer request. It kind of comes that way with me. I kind of splatter everything out there like a shotgun. But anyway, I just throw that out and ask for anybody's comments or anybody's prayer as well, because I certainly need it as well.
Amen. It sounds like the Lord is telling you got too much stuff going on and not enough of him going on. You know, and I've had the same problem as well. You know, we get distracted a lot of times and that distracted. I can be reading my Bible and things that come up in my mind. You need to do this before you get on that. You know, no, you don't. That's not the important. The important thing is Jesus right now. But anyway, amen. Lord, we just thank you for putting it in path to, and all of us, to run after you with all our heart, and you're going to fix this other stuff. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. I'm ready to listen to somebody's testimony. Oh, okay. Yeah, Rihanna, go ahead, brother.
Haha, very funny. Before I say that, Greg and Tracy, while we were praying, I had this very strong imagination of the next person that's going to touch Kaylee is just going to feel the power of God just go straight through them. So either it's already happened or it's going to happen. So just keep a lookout for that. That's going to be a wonderful, wonderful testimony. That's wonderful. I've got a praise report for Claire, and I just got back from our little camping trip, and I kind of want to, I suppose us South Africans can come across as very direct sometimes and can seem arrogant, but I'm trying to do this as humbly as possible. Claire and I have got a history of, since we've been married, of having terrible holidays, horrible holidays, because what we've learned later, I suppose, we've got some wisdom on that, which is we always thought that we deserved holidays, that you have to go on holiday and we must get a break. I work hard and, you know, and I grew up having holidays. We must have them. And we, at one point, this is taking it far back, as I sold my motorbike. I remember I sold my motorbike, and we said, we're going to use that money to go to Mauritius. That's when we were still in South Africa.
And, how embarrassing.
Yes, that's very embarrassing. And what possibly, you know, could go wrong? It's a beautiful place. That's just, yeah, what a holiday. Absolutely. Vacations. And we went, and it was, the weather was perfect, but we were just under such trials.
That was the first time I saw Satan. So he was sitting on the...
He was waiting for us there.
Yeah, he said to me, everyone was sick. Rian smelled like death. My other child couldn't eat anything.
Because of an infected finger. Let's just say that. It's not because I wasn't showering.
Yeah. And it was just... Satan sat on the windowsill and he said to me, if you will trust me, I'll never make your kids sick again. And I said to him, I can't trust you with anything. And so I went to the bathroom, and we weren't using a lot of medicine at that time anyway. We were already coming out of that whole thing, because it was very soon after coming to the UBM teachings and that sort of thing. But we just I threw what little I had down the toilet, and it just fizzed, and it sounded like snakes, and I was so freaked out by it. But glory to God, he's never come back to tempt us with that stuff again. So
he's delivered us out of that all. But the point is, we came to realization there that if we are, you know, we've got Christ in us, and we're in God's rest, you don't need a vacation. You don't need holidays. That's what God was trying to tell us. He said, you know, that's not, you should run and not be weary. Doesn't mean it's wrong to go. So we've come into the practice of always asking him before we plan, or if we feel like we wanted to go and take the family somewhere, we always pray and ask him. And this time he said yes, because he's a good father. And he said we can go camping, and we were looking at places to stay, and we're checking the weather, and we were gonna go to two places. And Claire had a dream in there was a November or in December somewhere, where in the dream there was a man named Andrew. I think David shared it, and he was part of the Manchild company, and he came to us and he said we should go to Freycinet, which is a beautiful, almost looks like an island resort kind of place, white sands, you know, turquoise.
But there's no resort. Beach.
There's no resort. It's just a remote kind of camping spot. We've been there before, just driving through, and had a day there and swam there. And in the dream, he said that's what we should go there, and we'll meet him there or something like that. So we thought, oh, maybe we should go there. This is now in February. Maybe we should go there and split up those two spots and just spend two nights there. And that was actually Claire's idea. I go, Mrs. wants hot showers, and
this place has
second
nothing.
Time camping. Now she wants to go where there's nothing. It's just the tent. So we asked the Lord, and we open up, we sat on the couch there, we open up the Bible, we put our finger down on the word Sodom. And we said, okay, don't think we should go. And when we did that, we both of us immediately remembered last time we were there, there were lots of people there. There were a couple of people there that was very scantily clad and had, you know, small bikinis on and things like that. And we said, no, we don't want that for us and for the children. And God reminded us of that. So we said, okay, thank you, Lord. We won't go. We'll split it up, and we'll go to another place, which is like a Christian retreat place. It's got a house we can stay in. We'll stay there for two nights and then move on to the other place. So we did that. And when we left the first camping spot and we went to this retreat house, that Friday, when we were supposed to be at this beautiful white sands, turquoise beach, it stormed and it rained, and the second place we were going to. So if we didn't go there, and we could have gone straight to the second place, we went to the treat house for two nights and then went on to the our last spot we went to. When we arrived there, they told us that the people who were there on that Friday, they left at 2:30 in the morning because all their tents were broken. The wind just smashed it. There was so much rain. Everybody was in a tent, packed up, and left 2:30 in the morning. And that's exactly that Friday and Saturday that we would have been at Freycinet, this paradise place. And that's just the praise report. Just go, he's such a good God. He's such a good father. If we trust him, and we had no idea why wouldn't he let us go there? It's just, I mean, it's, you know, we could practice our wilderness skills in there, but he just knows that. It was so wonderful when we realized, wow, we would have been there. That could have been marriage destroying kind of stuff if we were there in the middle of the morning, just with nowhere to go, with the kids and all in tow. And we just had absolute perfect weather, and I just thank God for that we could go on that, and it was wonderful.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding us. Because when you lead and guide us, Lord, nothing messes up. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, Angelica.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just wanted to share two words with Pat and just pray real quick. I'm sorry to jump back into that. But what came to mind for Pat was Romans 12 and 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And Psalms 81:14. If only my people would listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how soon I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Father God, for these words for Brother Pat. Father God, I thank you for switching, Father God, the dynamic in the house, Father God, to that which is godly, Father God, as Pat, Father God, puts you first, Father God, as he lays down his life, Father God, that you will make room for your spirit, your presence, Father God, in that house, Father God, will be overtaken with good and not with evil, Father God, and subdue those demonic spirits, Father God, that are destroying the relationships, Father God. Lord, it's not your perfect will that two people in a house, Father God, should be at odds with each other, Father God, that there should be love, Father God, and not faction, Lord. And believe me, I have my own share. I have experienced my own share, Father God, and it's not of you, Father. So I just pray against it, Father God. Nothing is impossible with you, Father. And I just pray, Father God, that there be unity and love and peace, Father God, such as this house has never experienced, in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else with a testimony or prayer report? Okay. Last Saturday night, I believe it was, Megan asked that we talk about the trials of our faith. When she's going through a trial that she'd like some good words about. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is faith, trials of our faith. How do we get into, why do we get into these trials? So, you know, that's kind of odd, because for the last week or so, the Lord has had me in Weakness, the Weight of God's Power. And that's a good book on faith. It's a real good book on faith. And I'm going to start out with this. I'm just going to read just a little bit of this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "My righteous one shall live from faith. And if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him." What pleases God is that we live from faith. We're not to live from our self-confidence or our self-sufficiency or our own ability or the strength of the arm of the flesh. We are to put our trust in God and walk with him like a little child walks with his father. Like a little child walks with his father. In order for God to be able to rule everywhere in our lives, we have to become as children. Matthew 18:4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me." The process of the Christian life is this process of turning and becoming as little children and becoming God dependent, God sufficient, and God confident. He wants us to put all of our confidence and our trust in Him and become as little children. You know what it is to be a child before God? You just believe that He's going to come through with everything that we've asked for. You just believe that whatever the circumstances is, He puts you in that circumstance to test your faith. Are you going to try? Are you going to believe Him? Or are you going to believe what your eyes and your ears hear? He wants you to trust Him implicitly, without any hiccups, without anything. And so if you're needing money, you declare it coming. And this goes for Megan and David and anybody else that needs provisions. If you need provisions, you declare it's coming and believe it's going to be there on time, and just rest in the knowledge that God's already got it coming, because He already knew that you needed this. Everybody that needs something, God already knew that you're going to need it, because He put you in that circumstance. And for one thing, to trust Him, to trust Him implicitly, like a little child. You know, you've seen, I've had my little grandson, he trusts me implicitly. I mean, he knows that I'm going to take care of him wherever I take him. He knows it. And if he needs something, he'll ask me, "Papa, let's go get some ice cream." "Okay, ice cream, we're going. It's coming." You know, same thing with God. He's the same way. He wants to help us. He's sitting there waiting on us to trust Him. He's sitting there waiting for us to be, to want Him to do the things in our life. He wants us to ask Him where to go on a vacation. He wants us to ask Him for everything that we want. And when you follow His lead, when you do what the Word of God says, you watch what happens. Miracles will start happening in your life daily, time after time after time after time after time. He'll never fail you. He never has failed me. He never has failed y'all. We failed ourselves. I've walked out of His trust before and trusted man and got burnt. But when we trust Him implicitly, when you trust Him like a little baby trusted mama to feed him, He'll come through. He'll come through every time. I know it's, and all you have to do is just ask God to take the anxiety away. Ask God to take the fear away, and He'll do it. He'll do it. And don't get anxious about anything. All right, I'm just going to put that out there, and let's go, somebody else. Talk about their faith. I can sit here and talk about the things that have happened in my life, that I've seen the miracles that's happened in my life all the time. I mean, for years. But let's not. Let's go ahead. Somebody else. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking about that scripture that I just mentioned before, "By grace you have been saved through faith." And I always have to think about, I always end up pondering on verse 10, where it says, verse 8 obviously is, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." A gift of God. In other words, Father is giving us faith, not only the grace, but He's giving us the faith, the author and finisher of our faith, not of works, that no man should glory. And that's the death to self and the realization of our weakness and our total inability to save ourselves, and Why is all of this? Why that environment? Why does God create that environment? For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. He is building something. He is constructing an environment for him to rest in. That environment is in you and in me and in everyone that calls upon his name. That's his desire and his goal. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That workmanship that he is doing in us was created in Christ, and that workmanship in us that's taking place was created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, if those good works that are to be produced in us, which creates an environment conducive to his rest, for God finding a place of rest in us, if those works need to produce that within us, what brings forth those works in us? The only thing that brings forth those works, the need for those works, is God creating a need in us. In order for him to produce this environment within us of faith and rest, he has to create and raise up the antithesis, I guess would be the word of that, or the need for that faith within us. So God not only is creating that environment of faith and that place within us, but he also has to create the need for it. So he's not only the author and finisher of our faith, he's the author and finisher of those things out there which require our faith. Those things within us that require faith to overcome. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared. God already prepared these good works that we are to be functioning in and walking in. He's already prepared them. Where? Back in creation, 6 days of creation, when all of this process was happening, he's already laid the plan out. He already knows what needs to happen within us as individuals to create that environment where he can find rest. Remember, he's creating a temple. I was thinking back of I think in Exodus, when God was giving Moses the pattern of the temple. And if you've read through that lately, it's probably one of those sections of scripture. I think it's Exodus chapter 23 through chapter 28 or something like that. And if you're like me, you read through those scriptures maybe once in a while. In other words, if you've gone through that once, you've probably read it enough, because it is a lot of detail, absolute detail in the temple, God building his temple. But every word in there means something and points to something. And I've just, to a certain degree, I'm and amazed at the overwhelming detail that God has, that God has created within us. And I don't want to expand on that or anything, but just the point being that God knows what he's doing in building this temple, and he has prepared that from the foundation of the world, and he's prepared those works that we should walk in them. Therefore, he's laid out the what's going to cause us to walk in them. So I don't know if that helps or hinders, but anyway, I just throw it out.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, the latter part of it, it says this, "For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him through the power of God toward you." And when you're being weak in that ability to save yourself, when you get in those situations where you can't help yourself at all, that's when God's power is going to be with you. That's what he wants. He says, "You're in just the right place. Now watch me work, Lord of God, and he'll do it. He'll bring it to pass, everything that you need, when you need it. Not when you want it, when you need it." Go ahead, Angelica.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to share a couple of more words that were coming to my mind about, you know, trials of faith. And I guess the question was, why does that happen? Is that what it was, Michael?
Yeah, simply. Yes.
Okay. First scripture that came to my mind was 1 Peter 4:12. I think most everyone knows this. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto mm-hmm. you. But insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, rejoice that at the revelation of his glory also you may rejoice with exceeding joy." So for one, it's saying that this is what the kingdom is, that it's not a strange thing when trials come, because it's only through a trial that we're going to be able to come into the glory, right, of Christ, right? And that's how we go from glory to glory, from each trial that we overcome by the grace of God. But it said, "But in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering." And so that came in, another scripture came to mind. Romans 6:5, "For if we have been united with him, like in his death, you will certainly be united with him in his resurrection." So we have to die. You know, we have to go through that trial in order to die if we're going to be united with him in that resurrection, which is the glory. You know, that's the glory of Christ resurrected in us. You know, through that trial, you know, and we're no longer that man, you know, in that place. And then another scripture came to mind, Romans 13:4. "For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not carry the sword in vain. He is God's servant, an agent of retribution to the wrongdoer." And so this can go for any particular person that got, you know, in our family or work or whatever situation. Where God has allowed someone to be our thorn, so to speak, or put trials on us, that, you know, we got to stop looking at other people as if they're the problem, because God's putting this in front of you so that you can look in the mirror and repent, basically. So, you know, that's part, you know, majority of our trials come from other people and what they're doing, and God is the only purpose in that, is never to judge those that are without or look at them, but to look at you, because he's working his glory in you. He's the resurrection life in you. So, you know, we have to remember that in the midst of a trial. And another scripture that came to mind was Romans 13:2. "So whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." So that's, we have to look at every trial that way. We know that God is sovereign. We know that God put this in front of us. And we, so we can't resist it, because if we're dead unto sin, alive unto God, we can't reach back to that old man's ways and desires of taking care of this situation. So because you're basically resisting your own resurrection and glory of Christ in you. And one more. 1 Peter 2 and 20 through 24 maybe. For what glory is it if when you sin you're buffeted for it, ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well you suffer for it, you shall take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For hereunto were ye called. So we were called to suffer with Christ. Again, just goes back to the other scriptures in Romans. But because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when you were reviled, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen. Those are good. Those are good. And some of the things that were coming to my mind were, like, I guess, been with my own personal trials and stuff, is the Lord led his people out into the wilderness, and he suffered them to lack, to prove them, to see if they would be obedient to him and trust him. And of course, they proved over and over again that they didn't, you know. And these were God's chosen people who had been calling out and crying out to him for 400 years to deliver them from bondage. And God did, and did all those great and mighty works. And then out in the wilderness, what, they complained and they murmured and they forgot. They forgot what God had done. And I think personally for me, it's through some things I've been going through for a long time, is waiting on God. And, you know, because we've come to be like wanting everything right now and wanting the answer right away. And it's like, okay, well, Lord, you said this and you said this, and how come I'm still here? And how come this is still happening and this and that? But during those trials of waiting and trusting God, things start to will manifest of your old flesh. And you don't know that they're really there until circumstances are put before you where you have to deal with it and you have to get rid of it. And so there's all kinds of things that will come up in a trial. You know, it's a manifold trial. So it's not, for me, it's not just ever been one thing. It's been manifold things all at the same time. And how you deal with that, and still it's being obedient to the Lord. First and foremost, you got to put God first. And God said this, don't get angry. Don't strike back. Don't do this. Don't do that. And, you know, it's in my heart, so I know better than to do those things. And at the same time, you feel the heat of everything, you know, you feel your flesh burning, you feel these things. So that's good, because you're dying, like Angelica was sharing, the, you know, we're supposed to die, you know, it's part about dying to the flesh. So that's part of it. And then it's also, for me, it's like, I want to know my Father as Father. He's provider, he's caregiver, he's healer, he's deliverer, he's, you know, he's our savior, all the different attributes and who he says he is, that I wanted him, you know, I guess he's answering prayers of mine. I want to know him. I want to know God. I want to know him as my Father. I want to know him as these attributes that he is. So he's answering my prayers and allowing me to go through things so he can prove himself to me. And I have a little thing on my refrigerator, one of those little magnet things that I got at a Christian bookstore one time, and it says, trials are not enemies of yours, but they're opportunities for God to prove his faithfulness to you. So you have to look at it in a respect that if God is who he says he is, and his word is his word, and he doesn't ever change. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to learn to get rid of all the other stuff. And we have to get clean of the doubt and the unbelief and the uncertainty and the double-mindedness and the worry and the anxiety and all this stuff that we go through our own personal chemistry, our old nature, plus the enemy, those lying spirits that are always saying that stuff to you and putting those things in your mind. And you got to learn how to use the armor of God, you know, and fight and overcome and grow. It's a growth thing. You know, there's so many things God's doing through the trials. There's so many things he's doing in us, in our hearts. And he's going to get the glory because I'm not giving up on his word. I told him that. I said, you have to prove yourself to me. You have to answer me. You said, you're my father. You're going to provide. You said, you're my healer. You're going to heal. You're my deliverer. You're going to deliver me. And I remind him of that. You know, I'm comforting myself with his word, you know, declaring his word and confessing him unto salvation. You know, I believe in my heart. But I've had to be tried in things. I've had to be tried in things with my body in health. I've had to be tried in things with lack, not having things. Okay, well, I can live without this. But God, you promised me this is mine. Because you said, if I ask you anything, you'll do it. And is it selfish? No, that's a need. Thank you. Okay, I'll wait. Give me patience, Lord. Okay, that's another trial. You know, so there's all kinds of things that faith is so big. It's what we live by. And it is being proven. It is being proven. And but that's how you grow. And that's how you die. I mean, the spirit man grows and the carnal man dies. So stay in the fire. It's a fire. But God can't fail, you know, and you learn stuff about yourself. And you learn more, I guess, more importantly, God's faithfulness. You know, you learn who he is. Prove yourself to me. I want to know who he is. So that's what he's doing in my life without going into detail. But, you know, he's proven himself to me and he'll do it to you too. He'll do it for you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Judy. Go ahead, Judy.
Okay. So I was wondering whether to read this from my daily bread. It's just real short, but some things that Julie was saying, I felt like, okay, I'll just read it. It's just short. It's called The Ticking Watch. A group of workers were cutting ice out of a frozen lake and storing it in an ice house when one of them realized he lost his watch. So they went back in and searched for it, and they couldn't find it. After they gave up, a young boy who seen them exit went into the building. Soon he merged with the watch. They asked him how he found it. He replied, I just sat down and kept quiet, and soon I could hear it ticking. And that's something that I am working on as far as sitting still and listening for God, you know, for him to talk. I talk to him, but, you know, I got to listen to him. So I just thought that was kind of a neat thing that I liked the way that was. And I just thought I'd share it. Thanks.
Amen. That's good. Yes, Marilyn.
Just kind of in line with what, you know, others have been saying. I know one verse that really, the Lord, it really jumped off the page at me about 20 years ago. But I think it's Isaiah 48:10. I have refined thee not as silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. And, you know, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. And kind of like Julie was saying, it's sticking in there in the fire, and Angelica and really everyone, you know, it's not bailing out, not giving into your flesh. And also in Proverbs, remove the dross from the silver and you have a fit vessel in the finer's hand. And, you know, what finally came to me is the dross comes up in the fiery trials. It's like we don't even really know what's there hidden in our flesh until we're in the trial. But then through repentance, that's how we remove the dross. You know, we you know, the Lord brings it to our attention and we repent and believe. And, you know, probably the thing that has, you know, just really helped me and comforted me so much is, you know, getting before the Lord alone is just really important. Like spending time in prayer, just pour your heart out to the Lord because he sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. And, you know, he likes to spend time with us and he likes us to come and, you know, talk to him. And I know that a lot of times that's when he'll bring things to my attention, things that he's, you know, well, okay, your attitude's kind of wrong here. Or, you know, you had this thought, you know, you need to repent of this, you know, and what's your motive here, you know, and something else. And so I think it's also just, at least for me, it's just been so important to spend that quiet time with the Lord, just pouring your heart out to him, but also, you know, telling him that you love him, thanking him. I know that I've just become a lot more thankful for the trials. I used to not really, I wasn't thankful for the trials I was going through. I'm asking him to help me to learn to rejoice in the trials because I need some work there. But I have become thankful because I realized that, you know, it's really what I need. He knows what he's doing. He does all things well. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And, you know, just talking to him, you won't waste the suffering of the trial as much if you talk to him about it. And then just another thing that he showed me one day when he was just speaking to me during the day was, despise not the chastening and let it bring forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Well, you know, we all want to bear forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it says in Proverbs, those that he loves, he chastens. You know, he lets us go through these things because he loves us. And so that, you know, he can reveal the hidden things in us once again. And it's him. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He teaches us. He comforts us. He strengthens us in the inner man. He enlightens the eyes of our understanding. He brings everything to our remembrance. He grants unto us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And he is the one, as Michael has said recently, I've been thinking about this so much, he glorifies Christ in us. So, you know, you can cry out to the Lord in the midst of all of this to fill you with fill you anew with the Holy Spirit. I ask for it every day, multiple times, and it, you know, it's good. And when you spend time in his presence, when I'm finished with my prayer times, I'm thanking the Lord. I'm thanking him because he has refreshed me. He has revived me. He has restored me. So anyway, that's all.
Amen. Thank you, Marilyn. That's good. You know, when you get into those places where you think it's impossible for you to do anything, that's the best place to be, because then you'll get to see God's power. Let me tell you a little story about provision. I didn't know this, but David was, well, he runs a big ministry here. And sometimes it takes a little money, or a lot of money. And he was getting low. And he asked the Lord to show him, said, "Lord, I need some money here. And I ask you for it, Lord, and I think you're going to provide." And that's just basically what he said. And the Lord told him, he said, right then, told him, said, "Well, look under your bed, under your mattress." He said, "What do you mean, look under the mattress?" He said, and he was just under there, just, you know, a few days before that. He said, "There's nothing under there." The Lord told him again, "Put your hand under between the mattresses." He put his hand in there and pulled out $8,000. So the little bit of money that we need is nothing. And I'll tell you something else. And a few weeks later, he pulled out a little more than that out of his drawer. The Lord told him to look in the bottom drawer. Looked in the bottom drawer. There's another $8,000, a little more than $8,000 in there that came directly from God. God can provide whatever you need if you'll just trust him and just forget about all this anxiety. I know, you know, oh, gosh, this thing is due. I know I got to have it. Well, say, "Lord, I'm putting this on the altar. It's yours. And I know you're going to pay it. And I know that the things that I'm going to need, you're going to provide. And I'm just going to rest in it, because I know, and I'm going to thank you for it too. Glory to God. I thank you, Father, that you've already provided it for us." And you'll see miracles. You'll see miracles. All right. Anybody else? That's the place he wants us. He wants us in those immovable places where you can't help yourself, that you'll have to trust God. And you get to know that you're going to see the power of God when you start believing and trusting. Yeah, Pat.
I was, I kind of saw that that in operation, what I'm going to talk about, and that is the mindset which is contrary to God and to God's provision. And being in a construction business, for whatever reason, I have found out that when you're running these jobs, you're dealing with a lot of people, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people make mistakes. I mean, let's face it, you know, they make mistakes and, you know, whatever, build something wrong or what. But I've learned that there isn't anything in the constructing a building that you can't, there's anything that can be messed up that you can't fix it. You can't correct it. There's always a way to do it in one way or the other. You can always correct it. And through that process, I've learned been able to take the position and rest in the position that, you know, it's, you know, it may be a mistake, it may be a problem, but, you know, we can work it out. We can figure out how to correct it, etc. And a lot of times, just that mentality, or just that we will overcome, you know, don't worry about it, we will overcome this, there's a solution here somewhere, we'll find it and we'll make it work. That type of mentality tends to draw positive responses out of people and the solutions to the problem, really. And so it seems like in a lot of the scriptures that God's been giving us here is that the foundation of allowing his life, his spirit, his provision, his the answers to his promises, all these things comes from a foundation of and being able to cooperate with that and not to hinder that that process through our the way we're thinking or the way we're looking at it. I know that in talking with Christians or non-Christians, shall I say, that are not blessed with that type of mentality, that there's a tendency to limit they're not able to look at the possibilities in the unlimited ability of ways that there are to solve the problem. And just what Michael was saying there is that, I mean, who would think that to go in and lift up your mattress and pull $8,000 out? But God is not limited. He's not limited in one bit. Now, I certainly haven't done that, but Michael just said that David did it twice. So, I mean, God is not limited. His resources and the way that he can provide resources and provide solutions to the problem are unlimited, literally unlimited. But our ability or our not believing that, shall I say, or will tend to restrict that from happening in our own lives. And I guess that's the only thing I wanted to say. Anyway.
Amen. Let me just read something here out of that weakness book, Weakness, the Way to God's Power. Thank God for the places that he brings us to where we are weak. That's the only place we ever see miracles. Yet that's the place we're most tempted to throw up our hands and be anxious or worried or troubled. And that's the place where all miracles are given, right there in a place of weakness, the place where you're unable. When you get yourself in an impossible situation, think about it. God put you there. And he put you there so that you could see how great he is. 2 Corinthians 4 and 8, we are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body of the dying of Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. God wants Jesus to live through us, but we have to be weak for him to do that. And the power of Christ will rest upon those who are weak. We're powerful only because we've got faith in God. Amen. Praise be to God forevermore. You know, if you'll look back in the Old Testament, he never, or in the New Testament, he never chose anybody that was strong, did he? Never did. Think about Moses, the most humble man on earth, he said. And he said, Lord, you're picking the wrong guy. I can't even speak straight. Lord said, I made your mouth. Man, I can make you say anything I want you to say. You know, and made a great man out of him from God. What happened when Gideon went out there? Gideon, if people say, well, Gideon was a great man of God. No, he wasn't. He was from the, he said, I'm from the least tribe. And I'm the least of my family in that tribe. And God said, I'm on my, you mighty man of God. You mighty man of God. And what happened? He went out there and beat a tremendous amount of an army out there to the Amalekites and the other bunch, Moabite, or whatever they were. Don't make any difference. They were strong, a lot stronger than his bunch. And what'd he do? He went out there and told Gideon, he said, you got to cut this bunch out. He cut a 32,000-man army down to 300. 300 to beat this big army. And they didn't have bazookas, tanks, or airplanes to beat them either. He told them to take a pitcher, put a candle inside this pitcher, and go out there and bring your shofars, and we're gonna have us. I'm gonna show you some stuff here. And they went out there and they did that, amen, and they just went berserk when they broke them pitchers. That's God. That's God. And that's what, amen, God can do in our life as well. Amen. And we could go on and on. All I got to do is read the Old Testament and see what happened. He always made somebody that didn't have any kind of strength at all. He was the most humble person and made him strong. Look at David, little old teenage boy, went out there and whooped Goliath like he wasn't nothing. But that's, amen, why God wants us to believe him and trust him. David trusted him. And when he trusted him, he was victorious. Gideon, thank, trusted you, him. And when he trusted him, he was victorious. Let me mute you, Pat. He was victorious all through the scriptures. And that's where he puts us there, is for one reason, is to show his glory. Go ahead, Judy or Sue.
I was thinking about children again. When we're a little child, you know, when we're born, we've got to trust in the parents to give us food and water, and you know, just give us, to take care of us. And if they grow up with good parents, those children will learn that trust. They'll be able to rely on their parents to take care of them. And that's what I believe the Lord wants us to be able to be. You know, be able to trust in him and recognize that he's there for us, that he wants to supply our every need. Which brings me to the song that came to me. I don't remember when I wrote it, when the Lord gave it to me. I don't know. It was quite a while ago. But it's kind of like he gave it to me to encourage me to just believe, to trust and believe in him, and not be moved by all the things that are going on around me, but just to believe that he's there. And I'm still learning that. I'm not there yet. I wish I was, but I'd like to share that. In the midst of trials, there is your peace. In the midst of trouble, your joy. In the midst of tribulation, I know you will supply. I know you will supply. In the midst of trials, there is your peace. In the midst of trouble, your joy. In the midst of tribulation, I know you will supply. I know you will supply. No matter what I may have to go through, I know you will supply. No matter what the enemy tries to do, I know you will supply. No matter what I may have to go through, I know you will supply. No matter what the enemy tries to do, I know you will supply. I know you will supply. I know you will supply. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Did you have your hand up, Rion, a while ago? Claire did. Okay, Claire, go ahead.
I just wanted to share something that might help Dave and his young family. I was pregnant with Tabitha, and that's a whole beautiful story all on its own, but just as far as provision goes, at that point, Rion wasn't formally employed, and neither was I, for the whole of Tabitha's pregnancy, basically, which was closer to 10 months than 9 months. And so she was born on the 26th of December, and around the 22nd of December, I used to edit work. So I got an editing job in, and then I got another one in. And at that point, I could barely reach the keyboard because my stomach was so big. And I thought, oh, I'm never going to finish this before the new year. Like, these guys wanted their work edited before the new year. But somehow I managed to edit the work, and I sent the invoice thinking, oh, they'll probably pay it after New Year. Like, who checks their emails on the 24th of December? Like, no, you know, no one does. Anyway, on the 25th, very early in the morning, I woke up and finally I was in active labor. And we went to the hospital. And in South Africa, we had already stopped our medical aid and everything. We were living on faith and insurance and all of that. But we still had to use a private hospital. In South Africa, you don't really get access to government anything. And even when you do, I don't think you should take it. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Point is, you kind of have to just fend for yourself in South Africa. There's none of the socialist business like here. So we had booked everything in to this private hospital to get, to have the baby, because I had a Caesar the first time. I wasn't allowed to have a home birth. The midwives wouldn't allow me. So I was all gung-ho for this natural birth, and we got there. And when we had to pay up front before we could, you know, use the facilities, and we had the amount to the last rand, we had the amount in our account. And it was because I edited, and it was because the people had paid, but we had no way of knowing when those people would have paid. We had no way of, do you know what I mean? It was nothing out of our own. So yes, I did work, but it's not like I was expecting anything. And yet we were more than covered, and we got to have this amazing natural birth and this beautiful testimony of Tabitha's birth. And then to continue the story with Daniel, we'd been walking so far in our faith. Obviously we hadn't gone back to employment then, but what was amazing was that we got to pay upfront for the birth and so much more. Like, God provided so much when we didn't actually think that we had it, if that makes sense. So he does just multiply. He does everything he needs to do at exactly the right moment. And even when you think you don't have the money in your account, or you're just going to say, oh, I've got it, you know, like whatever, he makes it all work, and it just works so perfectly. So there's no need to be anxious in anything.
Just to, for the accountants out there, it was so interesting is that with Mika's birth, we were still our firstborn. We still had the very fancy private medical insurance, and I was full time employed with a good job, all the fancy cars, and you know, things, you know, living that life. That Mika's birth with the private medical insurance, I mean, for one was a disaster in terms of, you know, it was an emergency Caesar in the end, and it was devastating for, you know, other reasons. But in terms of the finances, it cost us more. That birth cost us more out of our pocket with that insurance than what Tabitha's birth cost us, which was, you know, I just don't understand how that even works. So Tabitha's birth, when we didn't have the insurance, it was very expensive to pay that insurance. The other South Africans would know, you know, the discoveries and whatnot. Joe, you guys would know it's expensive to go put a whole family on that. And so even though you're paying monthly the insurance, the actual cost when we went to the hospital for Mika's birth was, because they charged 200% or 300%, and every time they walk into the room, it was just a disaster. We actually didn't have money then to pay it. We had to get on credit cards and all things when we still had those. Then when we had none of that and we had no way to supply for ourselves, we had no provision made with insurance, no credit cards, and a bank account that was zero and didn't have an overdraft, God gave us that money just on the day as it happened. And we could pay cash when we went into the hospital, all provided for. And it's got nothing to do with us. It's not our provision. It was just because he says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and maketh, you know, the flesh his arm. But if you put your trust in him, you will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame. Never. Because he is not a liar. Let God be found true and every man a liar. So those, and that's the all the men in that other, the first instance, it was all lies. But God is the one who's true. It's just, this is awesome.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. But I can tell you, just in my own experiences, he's put money in my billfold more times than I can count. Just added to it, that most was $500. He put $500 in my billfold one time, not too long ago. And $100 bills, I just inundated. And, you know, we'll just give them back out. That's what you do. You'll never run out. Like somebody was teaching earlier, I forget who it was, Missy. And Father, we thank you that tonight is the night. Tonight is the night that we're going to just trust you for everything, Lord. I tell you, let me tell you another little story. We had a lady here in the fellowship, and she worked at a factory. And in this factory, they made stuff. I don't know what all they even made. Doesn't make any difference. But one day they put her in a position where nobody ever fulfilled the quota. Nobody ever did fulfill a quota. Not even get close to it. And she was griping to the Lord about it. And she went into the bathroom and she was just saying, Lord, there ain't no way I can do that. I might as well just, you know. And the Lord told her, she go back out there and do the job. So to her credit, she went back out there, sat down. And she said, all of a sudden, she said she fell back out of her body. And she, all she was doing was watching her hands do the work. Watching her hands do the work. And she was just mystified at what was going on. And she finished the quota by noon. God did. God finished the quota by noon. And the supervisor got mad at her because she finished and he didn't have nothing else for her to do. But anyway, that's what God can do. He can do that. He can do anything. Anything. Don't put him in the box. Yeah, Angelica, go ahead.
Amen. I just wanted to share two provisions that the Lord really provided for me. And of course, he's done numerous, you know, I can't remember everything, but the two that really, really stuck out to me was before I moved to Tennessee. You know, I'm a single mom and, you know, work full-time job. And I, you know, paid my bills and paid my car and everything went. And there was really, you know, almost next to nothing left over. So, you know, to trip to Tennessee was not ever something I was going to be able to do, you know. But the Lord confirmed to me many, many times, you know, over that I was moving here. And so I said, okay, Lord, well, you're just going to have to provide because I can't do it. And I, you know, I confessed it to my family and boy, they thought I was crazy because, you know, even people who say they know the Lord, you know, they think that if you know, yeah, God provides and, you know, all these things, but yet you go out and get a loan and get yourself your new car and bless yourself and they'll call that God, you know. But I said, and I told him, I said, this is how you'll know that this is God's will for me to go. I said, he's going to provide the money for me to go to Tennessee. And I've never set foot in Tennessee. He's going to provide a place. Everything's going to fall in line. And I had to give my 60-day notice for my apartment, you know, in advance. And so even before that, I didn't have a place to stay. I had to do that in faith, knowing that God was going to provide, even if they could have rented out my apartment and, you know, I would have been out. My mom was like, oh, you should get a storage. What are you doing? You're crazy. And I said, no, this is how you're going to know that God is telling me that I'm going to Tennessee. I said, I'm not asking for any money from anyone. I said, he's just going to provide it. And so, you know, long story short, he was already even a year in advance preparing the way for these two checks to come in the mail. And I won't get into all that, how that happened, but anyway, I get a phone call from my grandma. She's like, you'll never believe what. And I said, what, grandma? And I kind of like knew this was it. and she's like, you got two checks in the mail. So, you know, they ended up being, you know, somewhere over $6,000. And it was like somewhere that I would never, never expect it to come. And that was the money for me to come to Tennessee to move. And I didn't have to do anything except for confess, you know, confess what seems crazy to everyone else, you know, because, you know, in the natural, it's just not, it wasn't feasible. Right. And just act on it. You know, I gave my notice 60 days in advance. I started packing a year in advance because I said, okay, Lord, if this is your will, then this is what I'm going to act on, you know, because faith without works is dead. So he provided, and praise God, I'm here. So the other little one too, I always like sharing this one because my son, he was witness to this one. Well, my son was witness to the other, but he was more involved in this one. I was like, we had like nothing in the bank. And I don't think we had any food either. I'm already having moved here. And I was like, Lord, just thank you, Lord. And I was going to get paid the next day. So I said, well, thank you, Lord, that someone's going to invite us to go eat. Right. And so Matt and Anna called us and we went to go eat. And I went, you know, in faith, having nothing in my pocket. Like they didn't know. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. Like somebody invited me to eat. So, you know, generally the protocol is that, you know, if someone invites you, you know, you they'll pay for you. But I was just going because I asked the Lord and they called. And so we went and I was just thanking the Lord at dinner, kind of nervous a little bit. And they're like, we got it. And it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. So those are just, you know, little examples of, you know, not only believing in the provision, but what, you know, just how we can confess it and kind of step out in those scary realms, you know, to, you know, it seems scary to our flesh, but, you know, once we kind of get in the habit of that, it's very exciting. And it's just a joy to see God move. So just want to share that.
Amen. One more story. Sandy and Jeff went out to California and took, I believe it was 22 books of Sovereign God with them. And that's all we had that we could round up at the time before they left. And they took those 20, I believe it was 22, took those 22 books out there, and she put some in a closet, and the other one she put in somewhere else. And they handed out, Missy, you may have to help me here. I believe it was 40 of them, wasn't it? 40 some odd books. And what they do, she'd tell Jeff, said, go get me a book. Well, I think we got the last one yesterday. She said, go get it anyway. Let's go get it. And he go in there and just without looking, put his hand down in there and drag out a book. Taking it after that, that's what he did. He just went in there and dragged out a book. Went in there and dragged out a book. How many is left? I don't know. Just went in and God multiplied them. What we're saying is God made this world. And he can do whatever he wants to do. And he desires to make us happy and to provide for us and to show himself strong when we're weak. And he'll do it every time, every time. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got any questions before we close out? Yes, we can. I would suggest, and I'm just throwing this out to David and Megan, is just declare the money coming, whatever it is that you need, whatever you want, whatever you need. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you without any kind of anxiety in my heart because you're going to take it out of there. And Lord, we thank you for providing whatever it is you want us to do. Megan, you have a need. David, you have a need. And there might be some more in here that might have a need also. Just do that. Yeah, Missy.
Like I said earlier, I had a read piece out of it. Fear Not the Wilderness. That's a really good book. Even if you don't have it in hand, it's on the site. You can get, you know, read it PDF. It's really good.
What is it?
Fear Not the Wilderness.
Oh, okay. Well, most of the books are on faith anyway. That Weakness is a good one. All of them are good as far as faith goes.
Right.
Amen. And then the new one came out is Faith for All Things. That's a lot of testimonies in that one. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request before we close out? Lord, You know David and Elena's need. You know Megan and her sister's need. And you know who anybody else here that has a need, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for placing it in their heart to believe and to trust you, Lord, for this need, because they're at their weakest. They don't know which way to go. And that's a good place to be, because the only place they can go is to you now. And Father, we just thank you for showing them your strength, Lord. And I praise you for doing it. And Father, we just thank you for the words that you gave out tonight through everybody. It's all been good. It's all been good testimonies. It's been some good examples of faith. And Lord, we just thank you for placing great and bold faith in every one of us to believe what your word says. You promised us that you would, if we'd run after you, that we wouldn't have to worry about everything else. And we believe that. We believe it with all of our heart, Lord, that we trust you and we believe it. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you would place it in everybody's heart to get more into their closet and to have fellowship with you, Lord. And that's what you desire, and that's what we'd like to do, Lord. And I thank you for placing it in everybody's heart to do that, Lord, because then we could have fun with you too, have fellowship with you, Lord. Walk in the cool of the morning like you used to with Adam before he messed up. And Lord, you'd do the same for us too. And I thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep for everybody tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give the dreams and the words of knowledge and the visions out to the people here, Lord, that would tell us what to pray for and what to do in each situation. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask and I pray for your protection upon each and every one here in the days ahead, that they would believe you for this Psalm 91 protection. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all.